Welcome back, or welcome to another episode of Let's Talk About Scam. If you're new here, this is a series where I rewatch episodes of Scam and then break them down scene by scene and just talk about and review everything. So yeah, there will be spoilers if you have not seen Scam before, so maybe go and check it out and then come back. So today I'm going to be talking about Scam France Season 2 Episode 8. And I have a shit ton to talk about because this episode is stupid crazy, so let's just get into it. But first, a recap. So previously on Scam France. So in the last episode, we're gonna call him Marles. So Marles, they got married in episode 6. They got married, there was an exchange of vows, but I wasn't feeling it at the time. So in the next episode after that, episode 7, there are moments I wasn't feeling it, as I said. I was not feeling Marles at this point. I was like, can this be over now? But towards the end of the episode, I did feel a little something for Madden and Charles. For Marles, I felt something. I said it in the last review and breakdown. I was like, holy shit, my eyes are finally open. Madden and Charles are kind of cute in this scene, where they're just staring at each other, because it reminded me of William and Nora. It gave me that vibe and it felt good. It warmed my heart. It made me feel like I was betraying Nora and William. That's a good thing. It's a good thing. But it was just that moment. I don't know how I'm gonna feel about them in later episodes. It was just that moment when they're not talking to each other. They're just staring at each other. I think that's why I liked it. There were no words being exchanged, no awkward lines. It was just them staring and smiling and pretty music in the background. And oh my god, we're so happy and cute and teenagers and stuff. And I was like, yes, more. But then at the end of the episode, the party on the big bus is put to a halt when a fight breaks out with some other guys. I can't remember who they are. I don't think it matters. I don't think I ever care. But yeah, a fight breaks out. Charles's guys are like, dude, there are some people outside and we have to fight them right now. And Charles is like, yeah, hold on, Madden. Just stay here, okay? I'm gonna go beat the shit out of some guys for a second. So then Charles leaves and then this very beautiful moment happens. I mean, it's not like that. I mean, it's a fight, okay? I hate fighting. But yeah, so the fight happens and it's so gorgeous. It's like, it's in slow-mo, it's shiny, it's beautiful. Yeah, it's just Scam France being Scam France with their beautiful cinematic shots and all of that. And I appreciated it. But yeah, it's a fight and fighting sucks. So we're supposed to be angry with Manon because Manon leaves. She's like, fuck this, Charles, you're a dick. You fight people. And by the way, he hit that guy in the head with a bottle unprovoked. There was no reason for him to do that. Wow, that was a long recap. I'm sorry, I just really needed to get into that because that was a great ending. Okay, so episode 8, let's get started. Alrighty, as I said, Manon leaves after Charles murders that guy with the glass bottle. So she left and she's mad, clearly. So now it's Saturday. Whatever, that doesn't matter. It's a new scene, and Manon is meeting Charles to talk about stuff, talk about their relationship. And for a second, holy crap. This scene, this shot of Manon and Charles, just standing, they're standing in front of this clearing, this square, kind of, and it looks so pretty. It looks gorgeous. This is a beautiful shot. Oh my god, I'm like getting excited over this. This is the shit that I love about Scam France. They're just really good at making shit look pretty. Like the most random stuff look good. Like they had the camera on a bunch of leaves for a second. I was like, wow, how cinematic. I don't know. But wow, because in this shot right here, we have Manon on the right side and Charles on the left side. And I don't know if they did this purposely, but so on the right side behind Manon, there are some trees in the background and they're like green and flourishing. But on Charles's side, behind him, beside him, they're, the trees on his side are, like, they're dying. They're orange and gold. Not really dying, but it's, I don't know what this is. I feel like they did it purposely, because, you know, Madden's all, oh my god, I'm a good girl. I'm such a good person. But then on Charles's side, they're a lot darker than the ones on Madden's side. I don't know if he did this intentionally. It probably wasn't. I don't know if Scanfrance cares as much about details and all that, but I can still appreciate it because it looks good. All right, so Madden and Charles, they have a little discussion. This is when they decide to take a break because they don't really understand each other or something like that. But first, I want to say, so all this happened because, no, this is happening. This little fight is happening because what happened in the last episode, right? When Charles had the guy at the bottle, and Madden was like, oh my god, wow, why would, how he can do that? And see, what? I thought he was, you know? So afterwards, I didn't really say this in my last review and breakdown, but now I'm saying it. Why is Madden so surprised? Well, there were so many red flags from Charles. Why are we surprised, Madden? We knew about this guy's story. He's a reckless douche. He's not a great guy. What did you think? You would get together and all that shit would go away? Honestly, it's something that all the Noras do. And it's just now starting to tick me off. Because why do you think he's changed now? Let's get into this fight. Let's talk about it. I mentioned this in the last episode, I think. Charles asks Madden why she's not answering her phone. Why? What's wrong with your phone? And Madden's like, my battery, it's deceased. And so I was saying how the phone was the reason why all that crap happened to Madden. It ruined her life. It's just foreshadowing. That's what this is. It's foreshadowing. And I felt the need to mention it. But anyways, so Madden is clearly mad at Mr. Charles for what happened. And Charles is super annoyed. He's like, how long is this gonna last? Why won't she talk to me? What do I gotta do? Do we gotta fight it out? So yeah, they do end up fighting. So Madden is mad about the fight, as I said, 5 freaking times. She says it didn't have to happen like that. And I totally agree, Madden. It didn't have to go like that. Charles, you did not have to hit the guy over the head with a bottle, with a glass bottle. You did not have to do that. So stupid. This is what, I think this is what most of the remakes do. I said this in my last review and breakdown, that some of the remakes do it this way and some of them don't. One of my examples was NL. Did it differently? What happened was William Sky, whatever his name is in NL, his friend was on the floor getting pounded by some guy from the opposing team. He was on the ground getting beat up. And so William's like, yeah, I gotta go save my dude, right? So he hit the guy in the head because he had no other choice. That makes sense. That made sense. Yeah. So, but in this one, in some of it doesn't make sense because William is standing right in front of the guy and then he smashed the bottle overhead. No one is touching you. No one is hurting you. No one is threatening you. And you just did that? Why? He instigated the fight. Nothing was happening until William hit the guy over the head with a bottle. Okay, they were just pushing at each other and getting into each other's faces, rubbing noses. That's all they were doing until William was like, hey, I'm gonna hit this guy over the head with a bottle. I'm gonna damage his freaking brain. And he does it. And now I'm mad and annoyed and confused as to why Scanfrance did not change that little tiny bit. It's so dumb. It's so dumb. Could have been changed just like that. Could have easily had maybe William on the floor, the bottle is just in hand's reach, have him hit the guy over the head who has him on the floor, and then there, self-defense. There's no argument, there's nothing. Okay, I'm not gonna be annoyed. But yeah, we did it the other way, and therefore I am annoyed. And so is Madden. So yeah, and then so now Charles is going on about how you have to fight for things, the people you love, and all that. Okay, but was anyone in danger? Was anyone in danger, Charles? No. No one was in danger, so you did not have to do that. Oh my god, no one was coming at you, mister. Stop it. And Madden says, she's like, no, I can't go out with a violent guy anymore. We're done. It's done. We're over. And that makes so much sense. Is Madden wrong? Please tell me what you would do in this situation. If all that crap that happened the last episode, at the end of the last episode, if all that happened, would you still want to go out with this guy? With this guy who you know has this really messed up reputation. He's not known as the good guy. Anyways, Charles says, okay, I'm done. Whatever. I'm leaving. And he leaves. And the fight is over, actually. It's done. It's a lot longer in OG. I'm just realizing that. I think it's because of that whole... What was it? Some kind of marching band came through while William and Nora were talking, and it kind of added to the runtime because they were just standing there. The camera did not even cut or anything. They were just standing there waiting for the marching band to pass, and then they resumed their conversation, and that was it. That really added to the how long the episode was going to be. Did they do that on purpose? Scam is always doing scenes like that. Drawn out scenes when the characters are just done talking, or it's like the end of the scene. They would just hold on the actors. They're just standing there, no one's speaking. It's kind of awkward. It's just birds chirping in the background. End of scene. Next day, it's Lindy, the girl's remnants about the fight last night, or whenever that was. This is really a really short scene. We're getting updates about the guy. One of them says the guy Charles hit last night may press charges against Charles. Iman sees Manon staring at Charles. Iman is noticing Manon and she's putting pieces together, and she knows about the affair. It's clear as day. And now we're on to the next scene, ladies and gentlemen. Iman approaches Manon in the library. Yeah, then asks her what's wrong. Manon says she thinks she's in love with Charles. But why? Oh, why, Manon? I don't understand. I don't know. I keep saying this. I don't know about Manon and Charles. I don't know about their relationship. I did say that I liked them for a second in that last episode, but that was just it. The only reason why I don't feel the same way about Manon and Charles, aside from lack of chemistry, is the scene that they cut out in the episode when Manon goes over to Charles's place to check on Daphne. They don't keep the scene where she sings to him. Why don't they keep the scene in? Okay, maybe it's because the actors are not comfortable or are not singers, or maybe they could have done anything else. Because in Germany, that Nora, she played the piano for him. It wasn't even a love song or anything, but it still meant something. And in Austin, it wasn't Grace, her name is Grace, who sings for Daniel. It was Daniel who sang for Grace. So they changed it up, but they still did something. And I don't know if they do it in the other remix. I can't remember if they do it in What the Fock. I can't remember. But I do remember that I love, what's her name? Zoe and Senna. I love them. And What the Fock. I love them. I don't know. Maybe their chemistry makes up for the lack of that scene. All right. But they could have done something with Scam France. Anything. They could have been just playing a board game and just a nice little montage of them getting to know each other as time goes by. They did that in Germany as well, which is really nice. It was cute. But no, it's just, hey, you want some hot cocoa? They drink hot cocoa, and then they stare at each other for a second. Charles delivers a very creepy line, and then Mika calls and says he's home and he can unlock the door for her. Because it wasn't as if Lisa was home on the couch watching Golden Girls. It wasn't as if you were just with Lisa on the couch watching Golden Girls with her like an hour ago and she was home. So why didn't you go home, Manon? I'm still confused about that. But let's just go back, okay? Manon is in love with Charles for some reason. Maybe it was after that moment they were staring at each other on the big bus, the big bus party. Because that's like the only moment when they actually have a moment together. That's just wholesome and sweet. and very Nora and William. But let us continue. Okay, so yeah, as I said, Madden is like, I'm so in love with Charles. But she's like, he's not a good guy though. He beats guys with bottles for no reason. And she's like, oh, he wants to change my opinions. And she says, I want to be independent and strong. She doesn't want to change because of a guy. But when did Charles ever try to change you? This is kind of random. Is this how an OG scam? When did William or Charles ever try to change Nora Manon's opinions on things? He's always been very made her do her own thing. He accepts her for who she is. In OG, and I guess in this one you can kind of see it. So where is this coming from? When did Charles ever try to change your opinions, Manon? When were you now ever independent and strong? What? Excuse you. But anyways, Iman says, being all of that means you can change your opinion. It's not wrong. It's not a bad thing to change your opinions. You can learn. You can learn from Charles. You can learn from people around you and all that. Just because Charles is a guy doesn't mean you can't learn things from him. Doesn't mean he can change your opinions on things. Menon also says that he's violent. Correct. That's a pretty big red flag. And Iman, she says, he probably just did it because he's scared and threatened. It's the same thing as OG. That makes sense, I guess, but still, nothing happened. As I said, 50 million times, you did not have to hit the guy over there with the bottle. It did not have to happen. It did not have to happen. No one is threatening you, Mr. Charles. No one hurt. No one was being threatened, my guy. So why? Tell me why. I want to know why the hell that happened. Why do you feel threatened and scared if you're the one with the weapon, friend? Huh? But Iman says she should talk about it with him, try to understand him, go and have a conversation, go and have a dialogue with Mr. Charles, and just figure shit out. Manon is scared about how Daphne would feel about the relationship. I think Iman brings it up, and then Manon's like, she's scared how Daphne will feel about it, she will understand. Alright, let's talk about Daphne for a second. Okay, so yeah, Manon said that she's scared Daphne will, she won't understand, blah, blah, blah. Obviously, she won't, I mean, Manon doesn't know, but Daphne knows, so. But yeah, Daphne, she doesn't give a shit anymore. She's moved on. She is strong. But yeah. Yeah, so Iman is like, tell her the truth. Just talk to everyone. Just spill the beans, Manon, to everyone, and be happy and stuff. Oh. In conclusion, Manon has to talk to both Daphne and Charles. Thank you, Iman. Okay, so I love this scene in every remake. It's a great scene, okay? I can't wait for Iman's season because it's kind of different from Sana's season, I think. Did I watch Iman's season? I did watch it, like, once. But not really because the episodes weren't even out. Not all of them in order, so I couldn't really watch much of it. But I watched most of it, and it was pretty good. Let's move on. Let's go and talk to Daphne. Now it is the next day, and Manon is going to talk to Miss Daphne about their issues. I also want to point out, I love Manon's outfit in this scene. I'm so obsessed with turtlenecks. It brings me joy. Dare I say Manon is more fashionable than Nora? Because Scam Friends kind of takes it up a notch with... It's still the same as Nora's style in OG Scam. It's similar, but there's just something more about it. I don't know. I don't want to compare them. I just did compare them. But there's no but. Okay, Manon is just, she's slaying. She's slaying. Nora also slayed, but right now Manon is slaying for me. And I'm enjoying it. I'm having fun. I'm obsessed with the turtleneck. It's great. We love it. That jacket is striped to perfection. It's great, and we're happy. And now we're talking to Daphne. it's Daphne time now. Let's stop. Let's stop talking about Manon. Okay, so Manon is coming clean to Daphne about everything, but Daphne already knew. Daphne is already in on it. She saw them making out the other day, but she says she's relieved. She talks about how she lost herself when it came to Charles. That sucks so bad. That sucks so bad that that happened. That sucks. Why can't Daphne and Charles have a small scene together? They never do. I just realized that. They never really do. Vilda and Wilhelm, they never had an actual scene together, but they just talked as friends or acquaintances. It's never a thing. We only got that scene between them when Nora forced him to apologize to Vilda, so in exchange she would want a day with him. That wasn't even a real thing, so that doesn't count. Unfortunately, we didn't get any scenes with Daphne and Charles or with Vilda and William. But whatever. So yeah, Daphne explains how liking Charles really messed her up. And Daphne asks Manon why Charles is good enough for Manon and not Daphne. Does that make sense? And to this, Manon says she doesn't know, which is the same response Nora gave Vilda in OG Scam. I honestly don't know the answer to this either. Maybe this is just Manon still trying to figure out her relationship with Charles, her feelings and stuff. But I do not know why Manon thinks Charles is good enough for her and not Daphne. Because they're both good people, and William is just, he's troubled. He's a troubled young man. So why him? Was there a reason? Someone please tell me. Okay, and then Daphne tells her she knew about Charles and her all along. I knew everything, Manon. You're not as slick as you think you are, baby girl. And yeah, so she's like, I was just testing you. Oh, I can't remember if any of the remakes do this differently. So if I was Daphne, I would be pissed as hell, okay? I would be petty as shit. That would be me in this situation. I would be pissed as shit, okay? But Daphne doesn't care. She's just testing her. Their relationship is resolved. Everything is fine. There's no scars from that whole thing. There's no long-term effect on their relationship. It's just, wow, we're done. It's good. It's fine. The biggest betrayal has been resolved. And so easily. How? It's beyond me. I don't know why it's like this. I wish it wasn't like this, though. It could have really added to this whole thing with Manon and Daphne. But I guess they just wanted these plot lines to be over so we can get to Manon and Nico's plot line. It's over. We need to accept things. Okay, so now we're on to the next scene. So later, Manon goes to Charles's place. Buddy's not there, but guess who is? Nico's there. Charles's asshole brother, who kind of looks like Manon. Whoa, I'm just realizing this. They could be siblings. That's creepy for me to say. I'm sorry, I shouldn't have said that. That's weird. But anyways, the whole dead battery thing comes back. It's back. That freaking phone that ruins her life. Manon, just get a new phone. And you know, the whole battery thing happened, so she wasn't able to call Charles. I'm happy they kept this part in Scam France, this whole my battery sucks thing, because it really makes sense. Okay, and the foreshadowing's nice. I appreciated that. But Nico offers Manon a charger to charge her phone up, and Manon was like, dude, aren't you supposed to be at college? And Nico is like, Charles said that, right? He's such a little dick. Like, my brother sucks ass. He's such a little piece of crap. Oh my god, I hate him so much. But yeah, my brother is such an asshole that he said that. He said that because, yeah, he doesn't want anyone meeting me, his family, because he sucks. Okay, he doesn't actually say it like that, but yeah, so Nico is a pathological liar. He's a dick. He sucks. Yeah, we already know that though. So yeah, Nico lies and says Charles just doesn't like people meeting his family. And then a girl walks by Manon. I think this is supposed to be Mari, but they don't as I said, I think it's my last review and breakdown, that they didn't introduce her in the bathroom when Nora Manon was in there, and that scene where she's taking off her lipstick, they didn't introduce her there, which she said, wow, cute lipstick. Why? They could have, that would have been nice if they did that. It could have been done, but they don't, but it's fine. It's just a minor thing, but she's there now. I don't know what her name is in this one, but she's there. It's set up for later. She's the witness that could tell Manon that she'd not canoodle with Nico. And then Manon asks Nico to call Charles. So Nico calls Charles and says he's not coming. He lies and says that he's with another girl. You suck, Nico. You're an a-hole. And then he starts spewing lies about Charles, about him being crazy and a psychopath. Wow. This just lies. Because all that shit that he says is, it's about himself. He's crazy and he's a psychopath. And they explain that all later. And he says how Charles is good at manipulating people, and he's not wrong. He's not lying there, okay? But he also says he's violent, which is also pretty correct. But I guess that was resolved in the last scene with Manon and Iman, about how Charles she just wants to stick up for his dudes, and right? Sure. Whatever. Okay. By the way, this scene is for some reason, okay, I know the reason. So this scene, I'm sorry if this is insensitive, but this scene kind of made me laugh. I am sorry for the people who were probably tearing up during this scene. There was none of that for me, because for some reason, someone made the creative decision to add spooky music behind the scene. It's just playing in the background. It's all dark and ominous, and I was just laughing my ass off because it sounds so cheesy. The way Nico was talking about Charles being a psychopath, and the music is like something like that, and it's so random, and it sounds really weird. Okay, it comes out of nowhere, and I laughed. It gave me a chuckle. I'm sorry. This serious scene gave me a laugh because of the music they use in the background. It just kind of out of nowhere, because in OG Scam, yeah, I'm comparing again. In OG Scam, how the scene was done, there was no music in the background while Nico was telling Nora about all of this stuff about Charles, all the lies. There was no music, and I guess that felt pretty realistic to me. There was just something really realistic about Scam, OG Scam. The way things are filmed, the way characters talk, there's something very realistic about it. But in this one, they just got the sad music. We're sad, or the scary music, we're scared, and it's just in your face, and it's just telling you to be worried or scared or sad. And I don't like being told what to do, so I laughed. I laughed. Scam France, I'm sorry. I did. And once again, I apologize. But yeah, it's, so Manon is totally believing all of this, by the way. There's, there has been some proof. There's been proof of that. He was pretty violent in the last episode, and he has been a little manipulative at times. So Manon's like, wow, okay. I'm shocked, but I'm not really surprised. And it's pretty sad the way Manon just kind of turns on Charles. She then decides to stay and gets drunkity drunk at Charles's place. And this scene is so odd. First, I want to say how I didn't like how they did some things. I'm sorry, I'm going to compare again, because OG Scam is just, they did some things right for me that this remake is just not doing. Okay, so let's go back. So when Manon comes into the house, Nora enters the house, Nico offers her a drink. She offers her some wine. She's like, no, I don't drink, bitch. So then the whole thing happens, telling her about Charles, blah, blah, blah. And then Nico hands her the cup, the wine glass. And oh my god, I loved how they did this. It was just Nora slowly losing herself. And she looks at the glass and she takes a small sip, and then there's a pause, and then she decides to just down it all. She drinks the entire glass, and I love how they did that. But it's not really like that in this one. It's not really, they don't really, but I guess, I don't know, they don't have to do everything that Oshii's Camp does, right? It's just Madden, she's just like, yeah, I'm gonna go get a drink. There's no offering or anything. And this is so creepy. As I was saying, let's go forward now. As I was saying before, this scene is so creepy. Why is Scam France so creepy sometimes? It's not even on purpose sometimes. It's just so creepy. I have no idea what the hell is happening right now. So Manon, yeah, she goes to the table, to get a drink, and everyone is staring at her. I can't tell if this is just Manon imagining everything or is this actually happening, but everyone is just staring at her, and it's super, super weird. It's funny. And then Charles is there. I think she hallucinates him. She drank one drink and she's already imagining things. Is it that easy? Well, yeah, Madden is just, she, what? What the hell? Charles is there. It's so creepy. It's so odd. And I kind of love it. And you can just see Madden going, just slowly going, just, you know, just losing herself. She's getting drunk. She's having the time of her life. It's sad. Everyone is just dancing and grinding and spooning. And it's wow. I don't even know. Everyone is just like, come to the dark side, Madden. And it's so funny. I laughed again when I probably wasn't supposed to laugh. I'm sorry. Okay, so that was weird. That was a weird episode, but I kind of liked it. That was a good episode. Wow. Everything was pretty good. Fashion was on point, as I said. My favorite character interaction in this episode would have to be Madden and Iman, actually. Madden and Iman's conversation was so good. It's the same. I always like their conversation. The best scene is probably this one at the end. I love that. That was great. That was so good. My favorite part of the episode. That was so messed up and crazy. But that is the end of this review and breakdown of Scam, episode 8 of season 2. Thank you for listening. Wow, that's gonna take a while to get over. I hope you'll stick around for more. I try to do these at least once a week. And share and like and all that. Comment, whatever. Have a great day, fellas. I'll see you again next week.